Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Let the truth
set you free.
You can't handle the truth.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
No. I am the father.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
I don't want to brag, but I will. I was in the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
What is that?
Hasta la vista, baby.
Hello and welcome back to the Creative Control Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Kenan, and thank you for joining us on today's episode. Today's episode is special, and we're going to be reviewing The Marvels, a brand new MCU movie, which has just been released this week. Sasha and I are going to delve into it. We're going to some minor spoilers regarding the plot and the characters, and then we're going to save our major spoilers right at the end, where we're going to talk about sort of like the final scenes and mid-post-credit scene. As I said, joining me today from the Creative Control team is Sasha. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
Good. A rainy Sunday today. Not that pleasant outside. But it's a perfect excuse for us to do another podcast.
Yeah.
Right. So as I say, today's special for The Marvels. So what I'm going to kind of do first is just give a little bit of an outline of the story, where we are, what we are. Then Sasha and I are going to go into it and say what we liked, what we didn't like about it. And at the end, probably give sort of like a star review. So The Marvels is a sequel of sorts. It's a continuation of the Captain Marvel movie in terms of that storyline, but it's also a continuation of Miss Marvel, the series that was on Disney Plus. And we also get a follow-up to Monica Rambeau, who we see originally gained her powers in the very first Marvel TV series, WandaVision. So the story opens us with being reintroduced to Carol Danvers, aka Captain Marvel. She's traveling solo, with her cat, Goose, in her spaceship through the galaxy, and she's coming to terms with the events of her previous film, basically. This includes some flashbacks. She's wearing sort of like headpiece, which she's trying to use to reclaim some of the memories that were wiped from her. And so it gives us a nice little chance to have a little look at Captain Marvel 1, see where she came from, and you know, how she got her powers, what it became to be. There's a little bit sort of Avengers stuff in there as well. But we also see some disruption in there. She's remembering some memories which weren't so positive, and some actions she took on the planet to what she thought was saving Hala, home of the Kree people, but didn't work out how she thought it was going to be. Danvers is working with Nick Fury, investigating issues throughout the galaxy as he observes from his space station. And Monica Rambeau is also working with Fury in and around that space station. We're introduced to the new Kree leader, Dar-Ben, and she's on a mission to save her planet. The sun is dying, the air is not breathable, and the water is gone. So Dar-Ben discovers one pair of bangles, or quantum bands, as they're later known to be, on a remote planet, which allows her to open jump points in space. She can then use these jump points to take resources from other planets to revive her own. However, if she could use the pair of bangles together, this would give her enormous power, enable her to do so much more and manipulate space and time and jump points more easily. So that kind of leads us on to Miss Marvel, as she is one of the person who owns the other band. And we get a repeat of the end of the Miss Marvel series, showing Kamala fantasizing about meeting Captain Marvel, working with her to save the world. So it's kind of a recap on her and her story as well. And then we get the part where she vanishes and Captain Marvel takes her place. So that's kind of where we first knew we were going to have sort of like this link up between Captain Marvel and Miss Marvel in this movie. We then go back to show how Captain Marvel and Captain Rambeau, or Monica Rambeau, each came into contact with distorted energy, causing the placement swap. And that is basically the crux of the movie. So now we know that Captain Marvel, Captain Rambeau, and Miss Marvel, when they use their powers, they displace with each other wherever they are, sort of like in time and space. We get a recap then from Dar-Ben on how Captain Marvel was responsible for the state of her world when she destroyed the planet's AI, which had been controlling it. Obviously, Captain Marvel thought she was doing the right thing. Turns out it wasn't so great, was ruining her planet, so she's got a vendetta against her. So the crux of the movie now is the Marvels need to stop Dar-Ben from getting the second bangle and opening more jump ports, which could destroy the Earth, and other planets being absorbed by an alternate reality, which is bleeding into the main timeline. So that's the crux of the movie. What I'll do now is kind of go into what we liked, what we didn't like about it. Sasha, what did you like about the movie to start with?
Three things I liked about the movie, mainly, Kamala Khan. Kamala Khan steals the show for me. She, I've never seen someone so positive actually exuberate that positivity on screen in anything before. You can tell it was genuine from the actress. You can tell a lot of her reactions felt quite real and grounded, mainly because she is a fish out of water. She is someone that is an everyday person that is in this MCU universe with Brie Larson, with Samuel L. Jackson. And she probably felt those exact same things when she was filming this film. And those feelings come across as quite genuine because that adds to the performance to her character, who is quite wholesome and genuine in general. And to be quite honest, if anything is to say that's good about the Marvels, it's her. And if to be honest, I'd want to see more of her in the MCU moving forward, because you know she's a fun character, and yeah, I just think I just felt the actress was really good, and yeah, that's thing number one. Thing number two, I felt that the chemistry between the three leads, with Brie Larson, Kamala Khan, and Monica Rambeau. Was really well put across. You could feel the chemistry between these three actresses. It felt really genuine and stuff. And yeah, that was also really good about the film. And thing number three was a certain cameo that we'll go into later into the podcast about.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think when we first came out of the movie, Sasha and I had various kind of difference of opinion in terms of like where and how we saw this movie in terms of how it delivered. I think that I would have loved to record our conversation last night on the drive back, because that was got passionate. That was good. But we'll see if we can recreate some of that here. So what I liked about the movie, you're right. Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, Iman Vellani. She is fantastic. You know, she's charming. She's warm. She's endearing. There's nothing not to like about her in this movie at all. And, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed the Miss Marvel series, and she was that highlight. And she's definitely the MVP of this movie. You know, she is the star of the movie, not obviously in terms of title or ranking or headline, but she steals the show. Every scene she, and like you said, she is kind of that gateway for the audience a little bit as well, because that's kind of how you probably feel if you were around these well-known characters in that universe. If you start hanging around with a superhero, everything's amazing, everything's like, oh my god, and you're finally, you know, finding yourself in sort of like, you go from looking after your neighborhood in Jersey to now having to rescue and save the world. So, you know, it's quite a jump. So yeah, thoroughly enjoyed her. As you said, the relationship between the three co-leads, Brie Larson, Iman Vellani, and Tiona Paris, I thought they were great together. The chemistry worked really well, felt really natural. You know, I really enjoyed the scene, like the montage scene was really strong, where they're trying to work out how to move their powers between each other and work together more efficiently. And now they figure out how and when it works. And I thought that was really cut and well put together. Samuel Jackson, Nick Fury, I thought he was on point. He was very funny throughout the movie. Not overly, but just a couple of lines. You get a scene where Ms. Marvel's falling from the sky and she can't fly, and they think she's going to hit the ground. She switches places. Captain Marvel hits the ground, and Samuel's just like, oh, it's okay, it's Carol. You know, just throws it off. Also, Captain Marvel, she explains why she's got involved in this kind of energy transfer and why she's switching. And she said, oh, I touched it. Oh, it was like flashy and blue, magical kind of thing. And he's like, don't touch shit. You don't know. And it was just very cutthroat from Samuel, very good. However, the caveat to that is this isn't the Nick Fury that we've just seen in Secret Invasion. The Nick Fury we see in Secret Invasion is very different, is a lot more serious, and so it doesn't tie in. But if you take the fact that actually the Marvels were supposed to come out before Secret Invasion, it makes a lot more sense for the character. So it does feel a little bit disjointed from the Secret Wars, Secret Invasion series, Nick Fury, but I did enjoy him in this movie. Kamala Khan's family, I thought they were great in this movie. Again, loved them in the series. You know, they're a great addition to the MCU. It's probably the most sort of genuine, authentic kind of family we have in the MCU. Very much how I enjoy Blue Beetle and the way that family was represented in there. That's very much the case here in the MCU with this family. However, I did feel at some points they started to get too much screen time, especially once they got up to the space station and they were kind of around the environment. their narrative is obviously always worrying about Kamala, and it just was like, yeah, we get the point now, but they kept appearing, kept kind of saying, oh, you know, be careful. It just wore a little bit thin, that. So I think, you know, less would have been more with them. But what we did get for them, especially in the beginning section, where the first part of the movie, the first sort of like first act, is when you get the switching of powers, and the fight scenes and choreography and the moving between the space station, the planet and spaceship, and Kamala's home was really well done. I thought that was a very, very good sequence. I thought it was great effects. Lots of space ships flying, light powers, all look seamless. I thought, you know, we've had some really potentially ropey CG of late in movies and sort of like big movies. If you think about sort of like The Flash and stuff like that. But I thought this looked seamless. You know, everything looked on point in this movie. As I said, good fight choreography and action sequences. The power switching was done well, especially in, like I say, that first particular act. And it was quick paced. It was, you know, very streamlined. I think it's like an hour 45, hour 50 movie. You know, it's not particularly long. So it does move along at a, you know, reasonable pace. You know, the beats kind of keep going. So it wasn't bloated out at all. I'll talk about what I disliked about the movie now, and then Sasha can come back and tell me what he didn't like. The villain is quite bland. It's a one movie villain, which means we didn't get much time or development with her. It's, you have to really think about the name of the character when you come out of the movie. You know, Sasha will talk about a little bit more at that point, but it seems like the importance of her only really takes place in the final third of the movie, where the emphasis is then there on that character. So there's a dance number in this movie, which is quite surreal. So I didn't have an issue with the planet itself. So this is a planet where instead of people speaking, they sing. That's quite funky. It's a little bit different because obviously we, you know, something we hadn't seen before. But then there's a dance number, and that felt a little bit too long, out of place. Then, you know, Captain Marvel's married to this prince there. That kind of all seemed very, very strange. It just seemed like a reason to have Captain Marvel be involved in another planet to move the story across to why she was going to protect that particular planet. It was a little bit over the place. All that time could have been spent with the villain of the movie, to explore her more, spend a bit more time with her and kind of flesh her out. As much as I enjoy the chemistry between all three of them, I felt that the Captain Marvel, Monica Rambeau relationship was just repaired a little bit too quickly and too easily. There was a disjoint there, you know, they're kind of, you know, Monica's upset with Captain Marvel, you know, Carol Danvers, for not being there. That's kind of, she then sees from her point of view when they kind of do this mind recap using the technology that she has on board the ship, and they kind of see each other's thoughts, and there's kind of all like, okay, well, we're all cool now. It just, it went a little bit too easy for me. The plot, although, you know, I got the plot and it moved along quite nicely, some of the story beats were potentially a little bit tricky for maybe some audiences to keep up on. We're talking about alternative realities, dimensions, space jumping, all this kind of stuff. I think they could have done a little bit more with kind of making it a little bit clearer exactly what all this meant. Because Kamala Khan would have been that person that you were speaking to explain it in really basic senses. And I just felt that they didn't do that enough. They tried to sound too scientific. You know, Monica Rambeau is a smart person, so she kind of knows everything that's going on. But the audience doesn't have that kind of same output. And so I thought that they could have used Kamala and explaining stuff to her to bring the audience in a little bit more to exactly what's going on. But yeah, like I say, other than that, I didn't really have too many issues with it. I thought it was quite enjoyable. I was entertained. I laughed quite a lot throughout this movie. I thought it was enjoyable. So yeah. Sash, what didn't you like about the movie, or what did you have issues with?
Everything. The whole thing. The plot. Okay, so until you said your synopsis just there of the plot, mm-hmm. the breakdown of the plot, I actually didn't know that was the plot.
Right.
But, and that's great you followed it that way. I just saw, you know, by my understanding from what I perceived of the visuals that were going through my eyes last night, was that random action scenes happen and just stuff just kept happening, and then it slowed down on certain important things, and I was like, oh, okay, I think I know what that's about. It wasn't that I wasn't paying attention, I was, but quite clearly either I'm real dumb and stupid, but or they just didn't make a coherently good film, you know. Stuff like you know, I get it. From what I gather, it seemed like they got the plot to Spaceballs and put it in this movie. You may as well have got Mega Made and suck air from someplace and put it in their other planet. I don't know, man. I just thought the story was weak. It was like if the whole thing was written by AI, man. I know there was a writer's strike recently, but like, come on, man. Like, it just felt so disjointed. The whole thing, the filmmaking was terrible. You know, sure. It just felt like everything was fast paced at the start. And it was just kind of like, but why is this important? What is going on? You miss beats. Who's the villain again? Her? Okay, she's the villain. All right, why? You know what I mean? Why? Why is she the villain? I know they explain it in the movie, but there was nothing there to emphasize who she was, why she was doing it. The problem with the movie, it's going at such a fast pace. That doesn't slow down for certain character moments that are there in the movie. For example, Captain Marvel actually does have a arc in this movie. Okay. She's not all perfect, but you don't get that arc. The way they deliver it is like a throwaway line. Like if it's, oh yeah, she does have character arc. You know what I mean? Rather than her going through a journey and actually earning that, you know, I mean, a better filmmaker would, and this is no bad on the filmmaker of this movie, okay? Because she's done some amazing work with the Candyman reboot and other things she's done, so she clearly can make good films, okay? But it's probably a studio thing. Maybe it was Disney. Maybe it was Marvel. You know what I mean? But it just nothing landed. It had the skeleton of stuff that could work and could give it more. Like I said, your explanation at the start was like, oh yeah, I guess it did have a plot. But when watching it,
if you don't feel it, then that's an issue.
It's just this movie, in my opinion, is everything. If you turn around to Martin Scorsese and you're like, oh yeah, well, wait till the Marvels comes out, Martin, and you'll be proved wrong. This ain't the movie to do that. All right. This is garbage cinema, in my opinion. This is just my opinion. All right. That's not the whole Marvel brand. I love Marvel. All right. There's a lot of Marvel films I can sit down and say are great. This is not one of them. It just moved too quickly for me. I couldn't keep up with certain things. I must have missed certain things. I didn't know who the bad guy was until the end fight scene when they say a name like six times. Before that, they probably said a name once at the start, and I must have missed it. But I was just like, who's the bad guy? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help when your bad guy just looks like a knockoff version of Ronan the Accuser. In a bit of a research to find out who the bad guy was, I'm like, well, why don't they let her wear that outfit like in the comic book? That would look badass and more distinguishable visually, because she looks like she's wearing normal garms that her hench people are wearing. You know what I mean? It's like you look at someone like Darth Vader, you know he's the big boss by visuals. You know what I mean? You don't have to say, oh, he's the big guy. You know he's the big guy. Because of the character design and stuff like that. This, she seemed like a token extra that had a few words to say, you know? Okay, I'm exaggerating there. She has a bit more to say and stuff, but you know what I mean? It just, there was, for an antagonist, she was very weak. You know what I mean? That's no fault on the actress. She's done loads of stuff where she's been great at, but that's down to the poor writing of this movie. I felt the writing was poor. I felt... like you said, the song Planet, that my brain switched off. I was like, tonally, it took me out. Tonally, it just became real stupid. You know what I mean? Taika Waititi has done some edgy stuff with Marvel lately, but nothing took me out of the movie more than that. And then there's another sequence in this movie involving the cat things with the tentacles.
I was just
like, this is BS, man. This is BS. It was like the writers couldn't think of anything better to do. It's a poorly written film. It's a poorly constructed movie. Like, tonally, just everything. I just didn't like it. It has a few laughs in it. It does have a few laughs in it, which, you know, you'd expect from the Marvel movies, which were genuine, genuinely funny. That mainly came from Kamala Khan's family, herself, because she's amazing in the movie. And here's the other downer. Like, look, I always say The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Kevin Hart have fantastic chemistry. They've just not found the movie where that chemistry can be utilized to its max, to be a bona fide cinematic classic. And that's what we have here in the Marvels. They have fantastic chemistry, but we don't have a movie that serves them as characters really well. You have you have great intentions with great story points, like Rambo's abandonment issues, which is a great thing that gives a great source of drama and stuff, but it's washed away like you're on a train and like, you know what I mean? Like it just, you know, the pacing is so fast. It's like, okay, we've said that now go to the next scene. There's no time to take time and linger on issues that will give dramatic effect to the characters in this film. And I really hated it for it. Kind of thing. And I just, you know, it doesn't come across as a movie, it come across as content, and that's what Marvel has become lately, content. And Marvel, despite before Endgame and Infinity War, okay, which earned their right to be a combination of everything that gone before, which is why you can afford to do a parts one and two. And if you haven't seen the other ones, well, you got to catch up, because that's the point. You know what I mean? It's like Return of the King. You need to see the other two before. Each Marvel movie before then, you could jump in, watch that movie. Fair enough, you may not get certain things because, like, you know, but you would have understood what the movie was about, who the bad guys were, who the good guys are, etc. You know what I mean? You would have had a complete movie without having to watch the other ones. And Marvel used to make great movies throughout phase 1, 2, and 3. They have failed to make great movies in phase 4. And this is a prime example of that. I need to rewatch WandaVision to understand this movie. You have a bangle, and that's fine. And she says, oh, my grandmother gave it to me. Well, where the fuck did her grandmother get it from? I know where her grandmother got it from. Okay, they don't explain that to the audience that won't be watching this film, because now they have to find some other piece of media. And it's like, you know, we all give the Matrix sequels a hard time because, you know, when you got to Matrix 2 and 3, you have to watch the Animatrix to get half of these random characters they introduce as backstories, because the Animatrix kind of opened it up for all of those things. I'm not going to tell someone to go watch the Animatrix. Because, you know what I mean? You're watching a movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm reviewing a movie, not a piece of content, not a Disney Plus show where, okay, fine, we got to watch the season in its entirety. I'm reviewing one singular movie. And as a film, it has failed. I really did not enjoy this film. I understand your point on that. I didn't enjoy this movie. I think it had elements that were interesting, and I do see parts of a movie that could have been better, especially now that I understand the plot now, thanks to you, Ken, just now, because I didn't. A lot of the time in this movie, I was like, I just don't get it. I'm not interested. It's moving too fast.
This is a movie that, you know, like you say, Marvel used to make great movies that they would then tie into each other. This movie is very much a continuation of three different stories. So it's very hard to jump into this movie without knowing the history. You can, but you wouldn't appreciate it in the same way. So they tried to do a retcon, obviously, of Captain Marvel with the showing you what happened in the first movie. You kind of get an idea. They show you a bit of a recap with Kamala Khan and where she's come from and why she's a hero and the fact that she's like not an Avenger, not well known. Monica Rambeau, you don't really get that kind of recap with her. You know, she explains how she got her powers, but that's kind of it. You kind of get more of an explanation of her and where she's come from through the Carol Danvers history and the fact that, you know, she was Auntie Carol. But yeah, it's picking up on lots of different threads. And so, yeah, you do kind of really need to have seen the other stuff. And that's a very different approach to other movies where you kind of go in and, like you say, if you've got the history, then great. But this is a very different kind of movie. And it's a very dangerous thing for Marvel to solely rely on what everybody watching all the content, because you have people who just watch movies. They might not watch all the series, and, you know, you won't be able to tie everything in. But that seems to be definitely the way they're going now. And especially with the stuff that's going to be coming up, sort of like with She-Hulk and how maybe that might kind of play out. You know, Moon Knight, where does that go? You know, if all these characters start popping up in various places, you don't know how you interlink it. The other thing that kind of was never mentioned in this movie and never touched upon again is the fact that Kamala Khan is a mutant. You know, we found out that she was a mutant in her series. That's not brought up in any way at all in this film. And I definitely agree with you in terms of their character arcs. They're very small arcs, but they could have been done so much more had they given more time and actual conversation. Because, like you say, you see Kamala realizing that you can't save everybody, because Carol, you know, there's a destruction of a planet. They try to get people off. They can't get everyone off. You can see Carol struggle with that, but not to the extent where it shows the character growth, because obviously she's made a mistake before. A planet suffered. She wasn't able to save everybody here. And so by the end of the movie, she's wanting to save everyone and do everything she can. You don't get enough of a feeling of that. It's kind of there, but not entirely there. So I definitely understand where you're coming from that. I guess, I don't know, I was quite relaxed watching it, you know, so I think everything came at me quite easily. So, and I think I actually enjoyed the quick pace, because sometimes you can go into a movie and it is a little bit more drawn out, but I think there wasn't the right balance here. You know, an extra 15 minutes could have made all the difference in terms of those characters in the arcs. You know, it didn't need to be a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I see your point. Okay, so we will go into some spoilers now. So going to like major spoiler territory, which is more to do with like the future of the MCU. So the first thing we get is the kind of final scene of the movie. And we've got Monica Rambeau. She's been sucked into another reality now, because she sacrificed herself to close a portal. So this reality didn't disappear. Captain Marvel, she's gone off to save Hala by reigniting the sun. Something that was missing there was she didn't seem to go back and try and help the other planets that were destroyed, you know. So the planet with her husband on, you know, we didn't see her go back there and fix that. So I don't know what happened to that planet. But anyway, and then we have Kamala Khan. She's back down to Earth and she's moving forward. So we get we see a dog on the floor, a piece of pizza thrown down. Here you go, boy. And we see Kate Bishop walk into the room. So it's great to see her, obviously off the Hawkeye series. And then you have in the shadows Kamala Khan saying, you know, we want to talk to you about an initiative. Very much a throwback to the original post-credit scene of the first Iron Man with Nick Fury. And basically Kamala Khan's like, I want to start something. It's just me now. I've heard Ant-Man's got a daughter, but would you join the team? And Kate's like, yeah, I'm in. And it was a really nice tease. You know, for me, obviously that sets up the Young Avengers, and whether that's going to be a movie or a series, whatever that may look like. But it's pretty much a confirmation that we're going to get those three characters together. So Ms. Marvel, Kate Bishop, and it's Cassie, isn't it? I think for the Ant-Man's daughter, it's Cassie Lang. So we're going to have those three. I'd expect the team to grow bigger moving forward. Just, you know, what that will look like. And I'll go into some, maybe a few ideas for that. But Sasha, was that a surprise, or was that something you were expecting?
At this point, it didn't surprise me at all. I was like, okay, that's kind of expected. You know, new team with the new Young Avengers, whether that be a movie or TV series, cool. When it comes out, we'll see. Sounding good. Didn't really.
I really like Hayley Steinfeld. I think she's fantastic, and I definitely want to see more of her in that character, because I thought she was probably one of the better things in Hawkeye.
She was okay. She was okay. I liked Hawkeye. It was okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, the Young Avengers, that could also include potentially America Chavez from Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. It could include Ironheart from Wakanda Forever. Maybe even Scar from She-Hulk, you know, Hulk's kid who's revealed. They could potentially make up all the Young Avengers. So we'll see what that is. Now, the thing that kind of confused me a little bit about in the trailers is the last final trailer they did for the Marvels is very much they showed Captain America, they showed Iron Man, they showed the Avengers, and you have Thanos speaking and saying like somebody, you know, is always going to be there to kind of take over my work. It's the trailer was very misleading in terms of where you think this movie was going to go because it has nothing to do with any of that. But the big thing that I had in this trailer was be there for the moment that changes everything. Now, for me, there's nothing in this movie that related to that tag title. Nothing about this movie changes anything except for the mid-credit scene. So the mid-credit scene, we find Monica Rambeau awakening. She's in a hospital bed and she wakes up to find her mum, who's dead, next to her. And she's like, oh, my God, mum. And this person's like, I don't know who you are. She turns round and you have walking to the screen, Beast. So this is a fully realized Beast in a doctor's coat. And he is voiced by Kelsey Grammer, the original Beast, Frasier, from the original X-Men movies. And he explains, obviously, what's kind of happened. You know, she pulled into here and he's like, Charles wants some updates on her. So we understand that Charles is obviously here, Xavier. And then this version of Rambo kind of takes off her clothes. She's wearing something to keep her warm and she's got a full uniform on. It looks like she is the Captain Marvel of that particular universe. This was a huge shock to me. I did not know this going in. I didn't see it coming whatsoever. But it definitely piqued an interest. I actually moved. It's the first time in a long time I was actually sat on the edge of my seat in the cinema. I moved forward going, oh my God. And so that was quite something because we were never sure how they were going to introduce the X-Men into the MCU. But this definitely opens up a lot of doors, windows and, you know, all sorts. But Sash, what did you think of that? That was your number three of what you liked about the movie, right?
Yeah, man. really good introduction to the X-Men there. Kelsey Grammer's Beast, obviously one of the best things about X-3. Great cast in there. Spot on as well. He looks like Beast how we remember it from the 90s cartoons. That's what I liked about it.
Yeah, so the Beast we got in there, he wore makeup and stuff, didn't he? But this is a fully CG.
Yeah, this was CG. Him, so. The CG's a little bit ropey, but you know what? It's like the Luke Skywalker thing. They probably did it really quickly. He probably couldn't have been there on set. And, so they just did a CG version. It sells, to be honest, for something like this, they just need to sell you the prospect. And that's what they did there. They sold it. You know, you can nitpick and go, all you want are the CG shit. Because it's not that great CG, I'll be honest with you. Because I looked at it because of that, hang on, wait, that's not live action. Kind of thing. But you know what, it wasn't about that. It was about selling the idea of Kelsey Grammer being back as Beast,
because in future, like you say, they can do mocap for it, right? So then they can get something which is a little bit more realistic.
Well, there's multiple ways. I mean, I felt the makeup or in X3 was perfectly fine.
Great. And I agree,
to be honest, that would probably be the way I'd shoot it. You could have Kelsey Grammer voice him or have the makeup for the head and have someone else double do all the crazy stuff. That way it stays physical, and that would be how I would shoot Beast, to be honest. And maybe, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to put like a 70-year-old man through acrobatic chaining and wire work and stuff, you know. You know, I didn't see Fraser Crane doing that, but you know, if they went CG full hog, fine, but make the CG look great. You know what I mean? That's all I ask. But there's no wrong way aesthetically to go about that. That's down to the directors and the producers on how they want to do that moving forward. So I have no say nor preference on that kind of thing. I know how I would do it, but that's not down to me. It's down to them to sell it to an audience. You know, for this little blooper, it was fine for what it was. You know what I mean? They're just saying the X-Men are back and they are the X-Men that you remember from the Fox universe, or maybe, mm-hmm. or maybe they're playing. We don't know yet. We'll find that out when we have an X-Men film, no doubt. But, you know, we'll probably have a bigger debate on like where we see the X-Men and that kind of thing. But for me, having Kelsey back, that was cool. Just like in Doctor Strange, how we had Charles back. I'm in.
Yeah, they're drip feeding it, because obviously we know that Hugh Jackman's coming back as Wolverine in Deadpool 3. So I'd very much imagine Deadpool is going to be bringing out more of that X-Men stuff, because, you know, the first two movies we had sort of had the first class X-Men. So we had those. Now we're getting sort of the older generation. It kind of crosses over between that Days of Future Past, where you're kind of getting both. And I think what will happen is very much Deadpool will set what the X-Men are going to be going forward, whether they kill off certain versions or whether they focus on the younger generation or the older generation. But I think for something like this, you know, like you say, it opens up the possibilities. And definitely on our next episode, actually, we're going to be doing a Marvel Cinematic Universe. What next? What we would do next with the MCU moving forward from here, where we are in the situation with the movies, the series, all the other projects, how we kind of do it. Because strangely enough, in 2024, we're only getting one MCU movie, mainly down to the writer's strike, but we're getting about three or four shows. So the balance is very much going to be on the series next year as opposed to the movies. And, you know, how will the MCU cope with that? Kind of, will it suffer from it? But, you know, I think for most people, they'd agree Deadpool 3 is high on their list for what films for next year. So, yeah, we'll definitely do a special episode on that. Okay, so final thoughts on the movie. Yeah, I think it's worth a watch. If somebody recommended it, I would say, yeah, you know, it's worth a watch. Is it necessarily on the cinema? I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it in IMAX. I thought it was quite a bit of a spectacle on IMAX. I did enjoy that. But you'll be able to watch it on Disney Plus and enjoy it just as much as home. It doesn't have to be a major cinema experience. But yeah, I would enjoy it. And to be honest, out of 10, I'd probably go with a 7. I think a 7 out of 10. You know, like I said, I enjoyed it. It did have some of its issues. I did enjoy it a lot more than, say, Ant-Man. I enjoyed it more than Thor, Love and Thunder. So I think it's done better than some of the other recent releases. But yeah, Sasha, where would you kind of rank it against all like Ant-Man and Thor, Love and Thunder? And what kind of rating would you give it?
I'd give it a 3.
3 out of 10? Yeah.
3 okay. out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's better than Ant-Man?
See, Ant-Man...
Or did you enjoy it more?
I enjoyed Ant-Man more. Ant-Man wasn't great either, but Ant-Man was a 5 for me, I think. I can't remember. Whatever I gave Ant-Man. Like, Ant-Man's a weird one because I saw what they were trying to do. It either needed to be longer to make certain things work. That's a whole other thing. Watch what I said before. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I prefer Ant-Man over this one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Ant-Man, you know, I've only just started watching Loki season 2, 5 episodes in. I think I've only got a couple more left, but I'm really enjoying that. And the Kang is confusing me. It is really confusing me about where this is supposed to go and how he's supposed to be the next Big Bad and the Kang dynasty, because obviously they just killed him off in Ant-Man. Obviously we saw those different replicas or alternate versions of him. This series, again, I'm not exactly sure where they're going to go. Apparently the final is excellent, but I think it's more about Loki than Kang. So we'll have to kind of see where they go with this. And obviously there's the outside external stuff about Jonathan Majors, which maybe Disney is there for just trying to get through this period until they can really decide what they're going to do. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Okay, so that's it. So I give it 7 out of 10. Sasha gave it 3 out of 10. Let us know in the comments what you thought about the Marvels. Did you enjoy it? Do you think it stands up as a movie on its own? Did they not, you know, the characters get developed enough? Let us know your thoughts. As always, thank you for listening and thank you for watching. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. Anything else, Sasha, before we go?
No.
No? You're good. Okay, cool. All right. Well, that's it. So until next time, thanks and peace out.